Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into this edition of the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. Pretty depressing one as the Blackhawks lose 2-1 to the Vegas Golden Knights. In a decent effort against Vegas. Fleury played wonderful tonight. Obviously, Blackhawks now on the brink of elimination. Not a spot I think many people really even expected us to be in at this point. I don't think we were expecting to get swept. Now on the edge of it. I don't think even as good as Vegas is, anyone was predicting us to fall down 3-0 so far. So obviously a very disappointing loss tonight to Vegas. But before I go ahead and get into the recap of that game, I want to make sure you guys know how to get in touch with the podcast or ask any listener questions. We have the Instagram page, ChiTownHockey.pod. We have the Twitter account, ChiTownPod. We have my Blackhawks-related Instagram account currently live streaming the post-game podcast at Blackhawks Topic. Twitter account at Blackhawks Topic, same username. The Gmail account, ChiTownHockeyPod@gmail.com, and my personal Twitter account, JGolden777. So, now to kind of start recapping this game a little bit, obviously, I didn't really like our start to the first. I think the first part of the first 10 minutes, I don't think was our best effort at all. I think we could have given a little bit more, and I think that's one of the reasons Fleury can maintain that momentum throughout the whole entire game. Is because the Blackhawks didn't really test him in the first part of the game. The Blackhawks didn't really have that many great opportunities. Obviously, Alex DeBrincat, 8 shots tonight, career high 8 shots tonight against the Golden Knights. 4 slot shots, just couldn't really get it done. Nothing really went in for him. I did like our second half to the first and our first half of the second. That 20-minute stretch in the game was big for the Blackhawks, big momentum shift for the Blackhawks. Obviously, we only got one goal out of it with Olli Maatta scoring there with an assist from Kajula and Kane. Kane with his 7th assist there on the Maatta goal. I didn't like our latter half of the third period. I think we didn't press enough as we would have liked, or I think that is expected from this group. I think we obviously could have pressed a bit harder, gotten more pucks on Marc-Andre Fleury. But there's no doubt about it, Marc-Andre Fleury played a solid game tonight. He really stepped up for Vegas after not playing well in his one appearance in the round-robin games. But either way, very disappointing performance from the Blackhawks tonight as the offense needed to step up, and they didn't. Corey Crawford was the reason we were in this game, only allowed 2 goals with a .923 save percentage. He's a big part of this team, and he was the reason why the Blackhawks had an opportunity to win this game. So Corey Crawford stepped up, but the offense also needs to step up, and the offense didn't do that tonight. I was happier with the defense tonight. Only 27 shots on goal against Corey Crawford, or 26 shots on goal against Corey Crawford tonight. I was a bit happier with the defense tonight, the positioning of the defense. That was an issue I talked about 2 nights ago on the last podcast. That was something I wasn't happy with. So tonight I think we improved that, but I think the offense really needs to step up, and it's really it's really disappointing because we have the offense to be able to win at least one game, and now that you see we're down 3-0 in the series, this was a very low-scoring game, I do have to say. It was a very, this was a goalies type of game, only 2-1, shots were even except for an extra 1 over on the side of the Blackhawks, so that's also disappointing. The Blackhawks had an extra shot on goal, they had the edge in shots most of the game and still couldn't stick anything past Fleury. So that was very, very disappointing performance from the Blackhawks offense today. Patrick Kane racking up his 7th assist of the playoffs. So Patrick Kane still not on the goal sheet, but still providing those passes over to his teammates, getting production. But it really was just a disappointing game from the offense. The offense is going to need to step up in game four if we even want a chance at a game five. If we want any more Blackhawks hockey this season besides tomorrow's game, this offense is going to need to step up, because Corey Crawford is now into his rhythm. He showed that last game, and he showed it this game. Corey Crawford is back. He's playing good. He hasn't allowed a soft goal this... He didn't allow a soft goal this game, which he was doing the past two games. So big performance from Corey Crawford today, but there's got to be a time when it's not just Corey Crawford, and that time is now in the playoffs. Because you're not going to win games with one position doing what he's supposed to be doing. Corey Crawford stepped up. The defense is starting to step up more. And the offense now needs to step up. You have offense for a reason. You have offensive guys. Taves, Kane, Kubalik, Saad can contribute. DeBrincat, even though he had 8 shots tonight, still couldn't get anything past Fleury. Fleury, again, played amazing. So, no hate towards DeBrincat. But it's very disappointing, you know, to see we had more shots than Vegas and still nothing could convert. And Corey Crawford played vintage. Marc-Andre Fleury played vintage. And just nothing could come out of this. And it was just very, very disappointing to watch here tonight. So, game four, we really got to hope we're firing on all cylinders. Jeremy Colleton said it in his post-game presser, we're going to have to be better than Vegas for 60 minutes tomorrow. We're going to have to be better than Vegas for 60 minutes tomorrow. Otherwise, this series, we have no chance. Just no chance in this series. So, we're going to have to come out swinging tomorrow. If we don't come out swinging tomorrow, it's pretty much going to be over. You can't play a game for 20 minutes like we did today, and you sure as hell can't play a game for 50 minutes. It's got to be a full 60 minutes. The Blackhawks got to be better than the Golden Knights. They've got to start firing the puck more, get those dirty shots, get those shots on net, find those front of the net goals, those dirty goals. The PK, got to continue what it's been doing. Power play needs to step up, and that's a big issue, especially in the playoffs. Special teams are one of the biggest things when it comes to winning a game, and it's one of the biggest things in the playoffs. And if you don't have good special teams in the playoffs, you're pretty much done for. The penalty kill has stepped up. After tonight, we have 10 straight kills for the Blackhawks penalty kill unit. But the power play went 0-for-4, and the power play is just not looking good. It's too much just looking for the cross ice, you know, tic-tac-toe, solid Artemi Panarin style goals, and that's not going to work for the Blackhawks every single time. If you have an opportunity to score a goal like that, and that's the only opportunity you have, then go for it. I mean, go for it. If you have the opportunity, then feel free to go for that shot. But if you do not have the opportunity, don't try to make it happen. Don't get fancy. Shoot the puck. That's how all power plays tend to work out. All power plays tend to work out. We had a good power play last year. Last year, a good power play. 8th in the league at the end of the season. We weren't looking for those tic-tac-toe goals. It was more front-of-the-net presence, get them in there. Obviously, Alex DeBrincat was firing better than he has been this year with his 41 goals, most of them coming on the power play, actually, with those cross-ice passes from Kane. But that's not going to work for you every single time. It's just not. And the Blackhawks are going to need to realize that. They're going to need to change things up a little bit. They're going to need to start to find that front of the net in front of the net presence on Marc-Andre Fleury and Robin Lehner, because that is how you're going to get pucks past goaltenders. That's how it's always going to work. Those rebounds, those tip-ins, those dirty goals, screens, all that. That is how you get pucks past goaltenders. Goaltenders on the power play, especially if you're looking for that tic-tac-toe cross-ice pass, they already know it. They're not stupid. They know that's what you're going for. They know that you're trying to go for the cross ice or the tic-tac-toe. It's very easy to defend as a penalty-killing unit and as a goaltender with anticipation. It's very easy to defend. So if you can't find another method, then, I mean, if there was like a decline the penalty option in hockey like there is in football for the Blackhawks, like, that would, like, save our lives. Like, a shorthanded goal today, it's just absolutely ridiculous. A shorthanded goal in the playoffs is just not... It's not acceptable. A shorthanded goal is not acceptable in the playoffs. Not at all. 0-4 on the power play. That is not acceptable in the playoffs at all. The Blackhawks need to get better. They need to get better. I'm not saying you have to win this series, because barely anybody picked the Blackhawks to win this series over the Golden Knights, and if they did, it was in 7 games. It was never the Blackhawks or the favorites to win this series. But there comes a time when you don't want to be embarrassed. And the Blackhawks are being embarrassed right now. They're being embarrassed by a team that's better than them. But there comes a time where you need to put 100% into your play and give it your all, and something will turn out. You have to change up your play. You're never going to win by keeping the same method every single year. That's just not how it works. The tic-tac-toe, the cross ice, like I said, goalies are not stupid. They know how to anticipate, and they're some of the most flexible players on the ice there. It's absolutely ridiculous. The Blackhawks are still trying to defer to this method when it is clearly not working. And you said it in the chat, to be honest, they're very outmatched, which is true. That is a very true statement. The Blackhawks are very outmatched in this Vegas Golden Knights team. This Vegas Golden Knights team is a very depth team. It's in the 3 years they've been in the NHL, this is probably the best Golden Knights team out of them all, even counting the one they went to the Cup Final with. But there comes a time where you need to give it your all. Like I just said, you don't want to be embarrassed. You don't want to be embarrassed. And you could see the Blackhawks were not playing their game, their 60-minute game that they know they can play. This team has beat the Golden Knights before. This team beat the Golden Knights 5-3 this year. So we know it's possible. We know it's possible for this Blackhawks team to beat the Golden Knights. And you just said it, they're way more balanced that can roll with all four lines with no problems. And that is true. You saw that was an issue for the Blackhawks today. Matthew Highmore didn't take a shift until 12 minutes into the game. Patrick Kane, Alex Nylander was benched for a good amount of time. Patrick Kane was taking the place of Alex Nylander with Strom and DeBrincat. That is true, and that is something. The Blackhawks are not the Blackhawks don't have the depth at the moment to be able to beat a team of Golden Knights caliber. They don't. That is completely true, and I agree with that statement. However, there is a time when, you know, you have to look at your team and you have to say, well, you know what, we still need our dignity, and you know what, we got to go out there, we got to give it our all. And the Blackhawks haven't done that yet. You know, we have spurts multiple times through multiple games through this series, that the Blackhawks are playing well. And you saw that in the 20 minutes, I stated earlier, the 20 minutes between the latter half of the first and the first 10 minutes of the second. We showed that we can play at a 100% effort. We showed that, but for only 20 minutes. That 100% effort has to go on for the whole entire 60 minutes of the game, especially when we're in the playoffs. And you say it there, we should have never wasted our time in the playoffs. We needed to pick more, and now we're on pace to miss it, and I was happy now we're going to get a shitty pick. We are going to get... It's pretty obvious we're not going to make it to the Western Conference Final, so we are going to get pick number 17, which obviously isn't that bad of a pick. It's a mid-round pick. I'm happy with it. I'm happy that the Blackhawks beat the Oilers. At the beginning of the the qualifiers, I stated I want the Blackhawks to win. I want to see my team win. I want to see them have success. They had that. But now you look, this team now has experience in the playoffs. Kirby Dach, Adam Boqvist, Alex DeBrincat, Dylan Strome, Highmore, Kampf, who else? Connor Murphy. So I personally would rather take the playoff experience for these young guys and even a guy like Connor Murphy over a 12.5 or 1/8 chance at Alexis Lafreniere. And obviously the Oilers didn't win the draft lottery, so we wouldn't have gotten that pick anyway. But I'm taking the playoff experience for these young guys. It's going to help. This playoff experience is going to help excel this team further even more. And you can see young teams like the Blackhawks are, with some of the veterans they have, they can develop very well in today's NHL. You can see that in Colorado. In 16-17, or 17-8, I think it was 16-17, they were the worst team in the league. I think they finished with like 42 points. It was completely just sad. You look to where they are now with pretty much those same guys, and they're a successful team. You know, they're a Stanley Cup favorite for this year. So the Blackhawks have an opportunity here, and I think they're making the most of the opportunity, even though this is not at all what we wanted as Blackhawks fans, what the players wanted, the coaches wanted, what Stan Bowman wanted. It's not at all what anyone wanted for the Blackhawks going into this first-round matchup, but it is also playoff-caliber hockey, and being in, because playoff-caliber hockey is so much different from regular season hockey. There's so much more intensity. Guys are just going at 100% the whole game. Playoff hockey is something special. Playoff hockey is like no sport that we've ever seen before, really. That's what it is. So that experience and being able to experience it as young guys that are in their first year in the NHL or even in their first 3 years, like Alex DeBrincat or Dylan Strome, being able to experience it at the young age that these guys are at, this far, or not this far, but I mean, I guess you could say thus far, but thus far into their NHL careers, only being a few years in, being able to experience that type of hockey is a good thing for their development. And you can see that in Andrew Shaw and Brandon Saad. They came in as the Blackhawks were a dynasty. You know, they won the cup in 2013 with them, and you know, those are two solid players now. So this experience definitely does them some good, and I'm definitely taking the playoff experience over a 12.5 chance at the first overall pick, which we wouldn't have even won anyway now looking at the lottery, because Edmonton didn't win the lottery. Otherwise that would have been our pick. So, and then you said, it's even worse because it's Leonard that we got nothing in return for. I think this trade, I think people are looking at this as Stan Bowman sucks, and this is all Stan Bowman's fault, when really the Leonard trade was not at all Stan Bowman. We needed to trade Robin Leonard, and that's the bottom line. Robin Leonard was not willing to take what the Blackhawks were willing to offer him, and we needed to trade him. Stan Bowman knew Robin Leonard needed to be traded, and he knew Corey Crawford still had another 1 to 3 years left in him at the NHL level. Stan Bowman knew that. Vegas knew that. Vegas took advantage of our situation, and Stan Bowman needed to take it, because at least we got something for Robin Leonard other than nothing and him leaving in free agency. You know, because there comes a time when you have to look at both sides in the contract kind of aspect of things, where it's like, well, you know, we can piss off the fans and get virtually nothing for Robin Leonard, or we can let him go and get absolutely nothing for Robin Leonard. So there's a fine line between those two things, and Vegas knew that. Vegas took advantage of our situation. We still got a solid D prospect in Slava Demin. We got a second-round pick. We didn't have our second-round pick this year because we traded away in the Andrew Shaw trade. So that second-round pick is definitely going to help us in the Eric Gustafson trade. A third-round pick, that's going to help us out too. I have no problem trading players for picks. It just depends you know, what pick it is. You know, Robin Leonard. I think we could have gotten a first round pick, but I mean, it is what it is. Vegas took advantage of our situation. Vegas obviously wanted Robin Leonard. So, I mean, they offered what they offered, and you know, Stan Bowman took it because he knew the situation we were in, and really that's just the bottom line. So, I mean, no trade ever never fell through. Bowman waited too long to pull the trigger on the trade deadline, and by the time it was over, he panicked and went with that. I don't think he panicked. I think we were willing to offer Robin Leonard. We were willing to offer Robin Leonard to Carolina, but our asking price was a little bit too high. And there wasn't really any other team looking for a goalie at the moment of the trade deadline. All the trades had been made days prior, some that day, but there weren't really that many goalie trades going on at the trade deadline. I don't think he panicked and just said, you know, well, F it, and we'll take this. It was just, when the trade deadline comes and you're getting close to the playoffs like that, there very rarely is a situation where a team is looking for a goalie. You usually have your starter set in stone by the first couple weeks of the playoffs, and then you can, in the midst of the season, you can maybe trade for another goalie or trade for more of a starter like Carolina. But Carolina just wasn't willing to pay the price we were asking, and Vegas knew that. Vegas knew our situation. Like I said, they took advantage of it, and really there's nothing we could do about it because, you know, we want to get at least something for Robin Leonard instead of nothing and give him up at the trade deadline. I mean, I don't think it was a bad trade. I think we got what we could for him. Obviously, I just stated I wish we could have gotten a first, but I mean, you know, it happened, and Malcolm Subban, obviously, backup goalie, but I mean, still a viable option for us right there. I mean, it's not like he's terrible, but I mean, obviously, I would have liked to see Robin Leonard extended and Corey Crawford extended. I was never a big fan of Robin Leonard, to be honest with you. And when you say Gus got shipped for peanuts, Gustafson is, I think he was worth a third round, maybe a second round pick, maybe a prospect. Gustafson is not that good of a defenseman, really. I've never liked Gustafson in the time he's been a Blackhawk. I didn't like him last year. I definitely didn't like him this year. You know, as a defenseman, your job is to defend, and Gustafson didn't do that. Obviously, he scored some goals last year, up to 60 points. This year, disappointing year from Gustafson. Barely any points, didn't even defend. Obviously, had we traded Gustafson in the offseason, after that 60-point season, he would have been worth a bit more. Probably a lot more, but because of his lack of production this season and just his inability to defend, really, you know, he got traded for a third round pick. I mean, that's just the bottom line, in the NHL, you know, you have to get what you can, and that's what the Blackhawks could have gotten. So they had to take it because they wanted something. They didn't want nothing. And I know sure as hell they didn't want to extend Eric Gustafson. So I think that was the best option, for the Blackhawks. I mean, it really just is what it is. But we're going to take a quick break here on the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. I'll be back with you in 60 seconds or less. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back into this edition of the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. After a 2-1 loss to the Vegas Golden Knights in Game 3 as we fall down 3-0 in the series, want to get into the lines and pairings a little bit today, but first I want to make sure you guys know how to get in touch with the podcast or ask any listener questions. The Instagram account at ChiTownHockey.pod, the Twitter account ChiTownPod, my Blackhawks-related Instagram account currently on the live stream. Live streams for every post-game show and a pre-game Q&A over there on the Instagram Live at Blackhawks Topic. Twitter, same username at Blackhawks Topic. My personal Twitter account, jgolden777. And, of course, we have the Gmail account, sitesonhockeypod@gmail.com. Make sure to leave a subscription, a great review. That's all very appreciated. It helps the podcast grow. Never unnoticed, and like I said, very appreciated. So now I want to get into the lines a little bit. Colleton, I haven't been a fan of Colleton's coaching when it comes to the lines this far in the playoffs. He's been very inconsistent when it comes to the lines. I think he's changed them up way too much. And we saw even today, just in the first 2 minutes of the game, Colleton was already switching up the lines, and you know, you saw yesterday, 2 minutes into the game, he was already switching up the defensive pairings. That's a big issue, because you know, you try and find chemistry with guys, and if you're always switching them up, you know, that's going to be an issue. He started the Saad Taves Kane line today and kept it through the whole game, and I liked that line. I did like that line, the Saad Taves Kane. And in the Blackhawks Instagram chat today, I told the guys, I said, it's a good mix and it's a good balance. You have an offensive guy in Kane. You have a really good centerman and someone who can win 50-50 battles to save his life in Jonathan Taves. And you have an experienced two-way player in Brandon Saad. So it's a very balanced line for the Blackhawks there, and I really liked it. Second line, Kajula, Doc, and Kane. I'm also a fan of that line. I was a fan of that line. You know, you have a grinder and Drake Kajula to help battle the pucks out for Kane and Doc. Doc playing good as a center, you know, making some good plays there. He's been flying lately. And then of course you have Kane on there as the offensive guy. And obviously tonight it was switched up a bit. I believe it was DeBrincat on that line, or no, it was not DeBrincat. Kubalik was on that line, I believe, with Kajula and Doc. I did like that line also. Third line of DeBrincat, Strom, and what's his face, Highmore. That line I think has been going good. Personally, I like it better when DeBrincat and Kane are separated. Vegas is all over those two when they're together, and that is one of the reasons why offense has struggled to produce in the first three games here, is when DeBrincat and Kane are on the ice, Vegas is all over them, mostly on Kane, but just those two. Vegas is all over those guys, and they've showed throughout the series they're able to contain Patrick Kane, you know, and it's going to continue if those guys aren't split up. So I personally am not a fan of DeBrincat and Kane on the same line. I do like it better when Strome and DeBrincat are together. I do prefer probably Highmore on that wing there, rather than Alex Nylander. And then of course the fourth line of Carpenter, Kampf, and Nylander. I like Carpenter and Kampf together, but Nylander is just seeming lost all night, you know. I think it's time to get Dylan Secure in there, possibly, because he's a possession monster. Always when he's on the ice, his line has got the puck. So I think it might be time to scratch Alex Nylander, you know, get him some rest like Adam Boqvist got some rest, because Alex Nylander is playing terrible, just always lost every single night. In the chat, Kane has one goal. He needs to step it up. He used to put us on his back. We named him Showtime for a reason. Tave stepped up his game. Kane needs to step up his. This is kind of misinformation here that I don't really agree with. Patrick Kane has 7 assists through the postseason. 7 assists in 7 games. He has an assist per game, if that's how you want to judge it. He has a goal, so he has over a point per game. He's producing. Patrick Kane is producing. That's the bottom line. You look at the stat sheet, Patrick Kane is producing. He is producing. He may not be on the goal sheet, but he's damn well on the point sheet. So Patrick Kane is still Patrick Kane is still one of the best players on this team. While he's down in goals, he is up in assists. And assist, and last time I checked, assists lead to goals. So he's still playing at a high level for the Blackhawks. He's just helping his teammates rather than doing it himself. You know, you can easily switch the assists to goals. You know, they lead to the same thing. You could say he has 7 goals and 1 assist, then people wouldn't be bitching about it. But because they're assists, people bitch about it. You know, and then can't score really if you're being covered. I just talked about that 2 minutes ago. DeBrincat and Kane, every single time they're on the ice, and Colleton thinks it's apparently wonderful to put those two out on the ice at the same time. No wonder he's not scoring any goals, because he's being covered the whole time. So he has to pass the puck, because he can't get the damn puck through the dudes. So, you know, it's misinformation that Kane isn't producing, because Kane is producing. Patrick Kane is a high player. He always has been a high player. He showed up in the playoffs. While he's not scoring goals, he is being covered. He just has to pass it more. And he's shown that in the 7 assists that he has. He has 8 points through these playoffs. That's over a point per game. So he's still producing. Taves, you're right. Taves has stepped up. Jonathan Taves has taken over the driver's seat so far. He has, what, 9 points so far in the playoffs? Jonathan Taves has stepped up. He's shown he's a leader. He's given an example to the team. Jonathan Taves has stepped up. I am happy with what I've seen in Alex DeBrincat so far in the Vegas series. It looked like he was being contained, and tonight he was flying. He came out, 8 shots on goal, 4 slot chances. There's a matter of time when he... There's going to be a time when he scores a goal. You know, he's going to be... he's going to break out sometime. And Bruins Prime, you mentioned it now. Not sure if you talked about this, but Highmore sitting bench. I talked about it for a second, but not really too much. So I'll get into that more. I wasn't too happy with Jeremy Colleton benching Highmore for the start of the game. I think you give him a shift or two, at least, before you even think about benching anyone, because you saw the whole game. Patrick Kane played the most time out of anybody tonight, and no wonder he's looking gassed as he comes off the ice. He played defenseman-level minutes as a forward, flying tonight. So, this is where I don't like the coaching from Jeremy Colleton, because Highmore, I mean, 12 minutes of sitting on the bench. 12 minutes of sitting on the bench. Are like, why would you even put him into the lineup if you don't plan on him playing anything? I mean, if I pulled up his time on ice minutes tonight, I mean, you'd have to imagine it'd be somewhere around, like, 6 minutes. I mean, barely anything. You can't put your veteran... high-scoring, elite-level guys out there for most of the time on the ice, you know? Especially because what if this game headed into... What if we did get the equalizer and this game headed into overtime? You've just played Patrick Kane for 26 minutes. He's going to be gassed. So you're not doing anything to help your team. You're wearing your veterans out. That's another reason. How do you expect him to produce if he's gassed the whole time, playing 25 minutes a night? I don't understand why Patrick Kane should have to double shift because of Alex Nylander. Alex Nylander has shown he needs to be benched. He has shown he is not producing. He has lost. He has shown he is not at the NHL level he needs to be at the moment to be playing in a playoff game. I just mentioned a few minutes ago, Dylan Sekera, possession monster. Every single time they're on the ice, every single time his line is on the ice, they always have the freaking puck. So maybe you give him a chance. He's looked good out of phase 3 camps. So maybe you give him a chance and you sit Alex Nylander. Because you know what? If Alex Nylander is an NHL caliber player, he'd be pissed off, and he'd come back from that game even better. He'd be flying. He'd be looking to score every single damn goal on the score sheet that night. You know why? Because he would be pissed. He would be pissed. Because true NHLers, true NHLers are mad when they're benched. They're mad they pissed the coach off. They're mad they've let their team down. They're upset. You know, they do not want to let their team down. So if he's a true NHL caliber player, then you need to bench him for a game. You know, bench him for a game. You know, you're not helping Alex Nylander by putting him in the game every single night because he's not doing anything. Get some other guys some chances. Dylan Sakura, one NHL goal through 43 NHL games. You'll wonder why he's not scoring. Maybe get him some playoff caliber experience. Maybe that would help Dylan Sakura. You know, give if I'm Jeremy Colleton, I need to really assess this team, and I need to assess every single player heading into a win or die game. And Alex Nylander is lost. He is not playing good. He is not playing like the player I think the Blackhawks traded for. Very disappointing from him. Very disappointing season from him. I haven't liked what I've seen at all from him this season or this playoff series. It's ridiculous. And you say, I find Jake DeBrusk and Alex DeBrincat are very similar, both producing score opportunities but can't put the puck in the net. I do agree with that. And part of it is also kind of, I mean, luck is part of it, and then it's also, you know, you got to find the right opportunities. And I think both those guys have been able to. It's just a matter of putting it in the right spot. Alex DeBrincat, you saw on his breakaway today, just couldn't lift it over the pad of Fleury. You know, it's little things like that mean save or goal. So it's a difference maker. You know, if Alex DeBrincat could have lifted it an inch over the pad, then the outcome of today's game might have been different. But yeah. And then in the chat, what's your views on getting rid of Coach Q? Do you think it was a mistake? Colleton isn't ready for an NHL coaching job. Obviously, I think getting rid of Joel Quenneville was a very big mistake on Stan Bowman and John McDonough's part. Right now, you know, there's a lot of stuff coming out about John McDonough and the way he treated people and the way he interfered with Stan Bowman. So at the moment, I don't know if this is a John McDonough firing or a Stan Bowman firing. But either way, I think it was a mistake. Jeremy Colleton, I don't think was ready for a bump up from a young AHL team to an NHL team with a room full of veterans that have won Stanley Cups before. And then some young guys coming in. This team is a very blended group. A very blended group of players, a fine line between veterans and then young guys that are now developing. And you say it, Jeremy Colleton has proved that Joel Quenneville wasn't the issue with this Blackhawks team. Joel Quenneville was not the issue with this Blackhawks team. Last year, they still finished, 36, 32, and something like that. You know, merely over 500. This year, merely over 500. And you say, but look at Florida this year. Yeah, Florida was just kicked out in the first round against the Islanders, you know. Joel Quenneville is a good coach. You don't need to look at Florida to tell Joel Quenneville is a good coach. I really believe if there's anyone that could have brought this Blackhawks team back up to glory, it would have been Joel Quenneville. I think if it was Stan Bowman's issue, maybe he was just looking for someone to blame, and you know what, he got his coach, and you know what, he wants to turn this team around. You know, when you say Colleton has to go as soon as possible, and you know what, I pretty much agree. I think, you know what, after this playoff series, I think these guys now have their experience, and I think, you know what, in the offseason, you hire a new president, and you hire a new coach, you know, Gerard Gallant. Gerard Gallant is available. He has shown he's a good coach. I would go after Gallant. I think that could be a really good option for the Blackhawks. He provides experience. He's a respect. Gerard Gallant is a respectable guy, and a lot of that respect comes from what he did with Vegas in their first 3 years as an expansion franchise. There's respect there. Players would play for him. as much as I hate to say it, and as much as I think Jeremy Colleton is a good person. I mean, you know what? People can be good people while still being, you know, stupid. Jeremy Colleton, I don't think has the respect of these players yet. I don't think Jeremy Colleton has full respect. I don't think the players have fully bought in to his system yet. I don't know how long it would take for them to buy into a system, because now it's been 2 seasons of him behind the bench of the Blackhawks, and nothing's changed, you know, nothing really has changed. And I do agree the way he went was effed up. Q did everything for us and was thrown under the bus. I completely agree with this statement. I think Rocky Wirtz was the best in it, because Rocky Wirtz, of course, you know, sits there and watches all the decisions. I think Rocky Wirtz was the best in it, of course, making sure he noted that he's a class act, and, you know, he was very classy about his departure from the Blackhawks. And Rocky Wirtz, I think, handled it the best. I did not like how John McDonough handled it. I did not like how Stan Bowman handled it. There was no praise towards Coach Quenneville, besides from Rocky. However, as much as I don't like Jeremy Colleton behind the bench of the Blackhawks, I have to say he was very respectful towards Coach Quenneville in his speech when he was hired as the Blackhawks head coach. Very respectful towards Joel Quenneville, and that goes a long way, especially when you're a young coach. That goes a long way. So I did like that from Rocky and Jeremy, but I was not impressed with the way McDonough or Stan Bowman handled the firing of arguably the second best coach in NHL history behind Scotty Bowman, and obviously the second winningest coach in NHL history behind Scotty Bowman. I did not like the way he departed from the Blackhawks. I did think it was pretty hilarious, though. He went to a Bears game and was raging shots in a picture. I mean, that's pretty much like an F you to the Blackhawks, because you can't really do that stuff when you're a coach. You know, you're not expected to go out and do that kind of stuff. So that was certainly a funny picture to see. But moving on, who do you think Seattle will take from the Blackhawks in the expansion draft? Obviously, I made that post probably a couple weeks ago. I think a viable option for Seattle, obviously they have to look for a goalie. They got to take 3 goalies. Colin Delia, I think, could be a good option, especially because the Blackhawks have Kevin Lankinen and Matt Tompkins here. I think if they're going to take someone, I'd rather see them take Colin Delia. I really would. I think the Blackhawks have an opportunity to sign a goalie, and I think letting them take Colin Delia would be probably put the Blackhawks in the best position. If not Colin Delia, I think Connor Murphy or Slater Cuckoo would probably interest Seattle. But other than those 3, I don't really think there's too many guys that would really interest Seattle. But I think Colin Delia, of course, because you have to take 3 goalies. He's 25. He's starting to get into the prime of his career. Corey Crawford came into the NHL at 27. Colin Delia is only 2 years away from being 27 years old. So you know what? You might have a goalie there that can step in. You know, it's a fresh team. You know, that could be the first team he gets an NHL starting job with. That might benefit Colin Delia. It might benefit the Kraken. And he could potentially be their starter for years to come. So I think that would be a good option for Seattle. And then you say in the chat, I feel like this team has no direction right now and is coaching themselves. I actually do agree with that statement. I think that's a correct statement from you there. I think it's probably one of the reasons Jonathan Toews has really stepped up in these playoffs, is that they are kind of having to coach themselves. You know, Jeremy Colleton has really kind of screwed up this team, really, especially with the lines and pairings like I had talked about a little bit ago. It just seems like this season, they're just, you know, they don't really want to play for Jeremy. They don't really play for Jeremy Colleton. They don't really have respect for him like they had respect for Quenneville and they played for Quenneville. So, I mean, and yeah, you say you can see it on the ice, and that is true. You can see it on the ice from these guys, especially after all this bullcrap with the lineup changes, where it's like you're changing the lines 2 minutes into the game. Well, how are they supposed to build chemistry and score if you're switching them up 2 minutes into the game? yet you're calling out the team in your post game presser. I just don't think that Jeremy Connaughton is fit for this team at all at the moment. And you say the team has no direction. I think this year this team has no direction, but I think next year I think this team is going to have direction, even if it's Jeremy Colleton behind the bench, which I don't believe it should be. I think they should try and go ahead and hire Gallant while they still can. Look for an experienced coach, a respectable coach, a.k.a. not Jeremy Colleton. Go out for Gallant, and this team will play for Gerard Gallant. Gerard Gallant is a proven winner, and they will play for him. He's a respectable coach, and he can guide this team like they need to be guided. You know, you have guys like Ian Mitchell, Pia Suter coming in, Evan Barrett coming in, Andre Altomarkian, although he's looking to start out in the AHL, Mackenzie Entwistle looking to start out in the AHL also. But you have guys coming in that are expected to be NHL guys next year and are expected to be NHL difference makers. And a guy that stands out to me is Pia Suter. He's kind of in the prime of his career. I think he's probably around Dominic Kubalik's age, 23 to 26 or something like that. So he's in the prime of his career, and, you know, he's opting out of the ZSC Lions contract to pursue an NHL deal, and he's currently projected, you know, to be in Artemi Panarin or Dominic Kubalik once they come over from Europe. So I think he's going to be a difference maker. I think Ian Mitchell coming in is going to be a difference maker. I think the big step Doc has taken and the even bigger step he's going to take this offseason is going to be huge for the Blackhawks. Adam Boqvist, his development is going to be huge for the Blackhawks. I really like the way this Blackhawks team is looking like it's going to shape up next year. And then we'll see what happens in the offseason. But at the moment, I am excited for next year. I think this team is going to look a little bit better next year. I think the Blackhawks have some playoff hopes for next year. Obviously, I'd probably call them a playoff team next year if Gerard Gallant gets behind the bench. Just because I don't think Jeremy Colleton has the experience or the respect to be able to make a playoff run with this team. I just don't think it's going to happen. And you said the scary thing is we said all of this last year, and I do agree with that. However, heading into this year, after last year, the Blackhawks had virtually the same roster. You know, they really did. You had Ryan Carpenter and you had Robin Lehner. Virtually the same roster. You know, Carpenter, obviously, penalty kill, he's a big part of the penalty kill. But other than that, you know, not a lot of big changes. The Blackhawks have a lot of guys coming up. The Blackhawks have Pia Suter coming over, looking to be a very good sniper, a goal scorer, can lead this power play, like he did over in Europe. The development of Doc, the development of Boqvist. Then you have Ian Mitchell coming in looking to be a difference maker. I think this team has enough pieces to be a scary team next year. I think this team will be improved, and I think, you know, obviously we're probably going to return to the 16 team playoff format by next season, hopefully. But I'm excited in the direction that we're heading. I don't think there should be all this doubt around this team, because this team, I think, is going to be a good team in the next few years. I just hope there's a coach behind the bench other than Jeremy Colleton. How much are we signing Kubalik for? I currently have Kubalik looking for about 3 to 5 years at $5 to $6 million. I think that's what Kubalik is worth. I think the best situation for the Blackhawks would be to lock him up for 5 to 6 years for $5 million. I think a 5-5 deal would be very fair for the Blackhawks and pretty fair for Dominic Kubalik. I'm really excited about seeing Dominic Kubalik play. Hopefully he can develop even more than he has this season as a rookie, obviously nominated for the Calder Trophy. That's also a reason I'm hyped on this team next year. Five-five is what I got Kubalik at. Next year, obviously now that we know we're pretty much out of this playoff series, down 3-0, I think this team is going to be better next year. I am projecting the Blackhawks to to make the playoffs next year. I really am. Obviously, if I were Stan Bowman or John McDonough, I think Jeremy Colleton's time has run out. I don't say you give him a third season behind the bench. It's been 2 years and he hasn't done anything. I'm going to continue to preach this. While he is still available, you have to go out and get Gerard Gallant. Respectable coach, experienced, knows what he's doing. Coached NHL teams before. I think that really is who you have to go for. Final question I'll take here before we go ahead and wrap up the podcast. Do you think we should keep Strome? Strome, I think, obviously, I kind of am on the trade Strome kind of bandwagon, per se. This is a tough decision because you obviously want to keep Strome because there isn't really anyone that's ready enough to come in and fill that third line center position. You know what? If I'm Stan Bowman and I don't have the cap space to sign him, I want to go to arbitration or anything with him. I'd probably try and trade Strome. I really would. Try and trade him in a maybe 1-for-1 deal or a 1-for-2 deal. Maybe try and get a pick and a decent third line center for him or something like that. You know, try and get someone of the same value, but that looks like he's able to fit your team better. Kind of like the Jason Zucker, Alex Galchenyuk trade. In Pittsburgh, Galchenyuk wasn't really fitting the system. Traded for Jason Zucker. He was playing a bit better in Minnesota. Jason Zucker was playing better in Pittsburgh. You know, trade him for someone of the same caliber, but fits the system of the Blackhawks better. That's probably a better. That's probably what I would do if I were Stan Bowman. Don't you think they look a lot better than the beginning of the season? I'm just gonna answer this one quick. Yes and no. Obviously, you got guys developing, so they obviously look better than they did this season. I mean, that's pretty much a given. But yes, I think they look a bit better than the season. And then please answer which last one. What do you think? Do you think we should have kept Schmaltz? That one was tough. Schmaltz wasn't exactly producing as much as I think we were expecting him to or what needed him to at the beginning of the year. I think it's easy to judge now that we should have kept Schmaltz, but, you know, when we made the trade, Dylan Strome came in, and you know what? He was playing solid. Brendan Perlini came in. You know, he was a solid third-line guy, versatile guy. So it's easy to judge now, but when we made the move, I think it was a smart move from Stan Bowman. All right, that's it with the questions. Got a lot of questions from you guys, so I appreciate that. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up this podcast here. So before we head out, I want to make sure you guys know how to get in touch with the podcast or ask any listener questions. We have the Instagram page at ChiTownHockey.pod, Twitter page ChiTownPod, Instagram Live currently going on, doing that for every single post-game podcast here. At Blackhawks Topic, go check that out. Make sure to join the live when it starts post-game. Twitter account, same username at Blackhawks Topic. My personal Twitter account, jgolden777, and then of course the Gmail account, shytownhockeypod@gmail.com. Please make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. That helps the podcast a lot. Appreciate the constructive criticism. Want to see things that you want me to keep? Make sure to send those in too. So all that feedback is all very much appreciated. But I appreciate you guys listening to this edition of the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast after a 2-1 loss to the Vegas Golden Knights. Disappointing loss, but, you know, you're not going to win them all. So hopefully, we can get it going here. I don't think a comeback's possible, but obviously, things can change quickly. But thanks for listening to this edition of the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. Have a great rest of your, what the hell is it today? Someone tell me what day it is. I'm so pissed off right now. It's, what is it? Sunday. Have a great rest of your Monday.